And we got one extra special visitor. As you guys probably know by now, Pastor Eric is gone. Him and Anna went for a wedding. Anna's sister got married, so they had a reception. And so they're gone. But we've got a great fill-in. Doug Satherin is here. He was in Appleton years ago when this church was just getting started up. He knows, like, Sherry's folks and, you know, and so, anyways, but he's here from Litchfield this morning, going to fill in for Pastor Eric. So, Pastor Doug, want to come with a message? He's got one all set for us. It's going to be good. So, welcome. Welcome, Pastor Doug.
Good job. Thank you very much. It's good to be here. There's various things that I could say today. I thought there'd be some things as far as greeting. There was one man that I talked to this last week, and he knows a number of people in Madison and in Appleton and some of the other areas, mainly insurance people. His name is Fred McGuire. I don't know if anybody knows him, but I said I was going to greet everybody from him, so I'll do that. And I'll greet everybody from the church that we attend, Cornerstone Church in Litchfield. And there's a lot of good things that are happening there because of three things that I've really appreciated there. The Word of God needs to be central. And need to pray. There's prayer groups. I'm involved in a men's prayer group on Monday mornings at 6 o'clock. And then I'm involved in a prayer group on Monday evening. We pray for Celebrate Recovery. It's people recovering from various hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And part of that is addictions of various kinds. And this group of people pray for them while they're meeting. And so it's a good opportunity. And there's some great things that are happening there in that group. A lot of people that have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior because of that ministry. And quite a few baptisms from that group as well. So, and I'll mention a few things there. As far as illustrations, it's good to be back in this area for a visit. We spent quite a few years in Appleton. We were there for 13 years. And with being there for 13 years, our son started school in Appleton, and he graduated from Lacaparral Valley High School. He didn't ask me to greet everybody, but I'll do that also. Justin is his name. So there is, I noticed we're getting some showers of blessing outside, and as we look at God's Word, we see God's showers of blessing as well. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to look at your word. Guide us in that time. As we look at your word and as we wait upon your spirit to guide us and direct us and to speak to each one of us. We never know, as far as people coming to a service, who is going to come. But you do. And you speak to people's lives before they come to church, during, and after. And I pray, Father, that you would help so that this service today and this message would really be the beginning of the week. A week of service and guidance by your Spirit in our individual lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read in different passages of Scripture. Primarily, we're going to go to Colossians. And if you have your Bible, you want to turn with me to Colossians, that'll be fine. I'll read some other passages, but it's just a verse here and a verse there. So you can follow me in that. In men's Bible study that I attend, we've been in Acts. We've been studying Acts. And the last 4 weeks, we've been in Acts chapter 8, the first part of the chapter. We haven't gotten to Philip, a deacon in the church in Jerusalem. He was in Samaria, and we're going to get into that too. But we've just been at the beginning of Philip in Samaria. But this is part in chapter 8 of Acts, is the part of the growth of the early church. Now remember the Great Commission that Jesus had to the disciples. That's the 12, or no, the 11. They were meeting, and Jesus spoke to them after his resurrection and before they were back in Jerusalem. So they hadn't received the Holy Spirit as yet. And he told them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I wonder about that experience that the disciples had there. They were supposed to tell everybody, the nations of the world. How are we going to do that? Can you imagine what they thought? The disciples? 12 of them, or 11 of them. How do we do that? And they were to go back to Jerusalem, and they did a lot of praying. And at the beginning of Acts chapter 8, Jesus met with the disciples, with all of the disciples. 120, I believe, there were about that number. We see that number in the scripture anyway. And Jesus said to them, "You will receive power." This is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Even then, they did not know how they were going to make disciples of all nations of the world. But then we have something happening here. At Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 disciples. And right after that, they received the Holy Spirit. There was a power in them that they didn't understand before, but they experienced it to the extent where Peter got up and he preached to the many people. And I don't know if they had separate little groups that all of the disciples were involved in sharing with the people, but all of the people heard the gospel, the message of Jesus dying on the cross for them, that they would have eternal life, that they would be forgiven of their sin. They heard that. In their own language, they heard that. That's wonderful. And there were 3,000 people that became members of the church, the first church. 3,000 members. And they were baptized and were added to the church that day. In Acts, and I don't know if our Bible study is going to emphasize that when we get into Acts, but Acts has a lot of adding right at the beginning. And then later on, it's multiply. It's going even faster than adding. Things were really happening. Then we find in Jerusalem, they had selected deacons, as I mentioned before, Philip. There was a Philip that was a disciple or an apostle of Jesus, but there was also the deacon named Philip. He was one of the deacons like Stephen. And we find that there were people that came down in persecution upon the early church, and Stephen was the first martyr. And after Stephen was martyred and the persecution was strong there, and it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 1 and 4, and here we find as far as Saul was there, who became Paul, he was there at that experience of Stephen being stoned, and it says, and Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. They were scattered. They probably didn't realize how this was all going to happen as far as the people of the world learning about Jesus. And here there was persecution in Jerusalem, and God caused that persecution to do some great things. Then the gospel was spread to Judea. Judea here for you in Calvary Baptist Church, your Judea is probably Lacaparl. You're going to do some things at the fair, Lacaparl Fair. That's reaching out to Judea. And then it says here in this scripture passage in Acts chapter 8 that Samaria, they were now in Judea and Samaria, and Philip, one of the deacons in Jerusalem, went into Samaria and went into hiding. Oh no, he didn't. He didn't go into hiding. He preached the word. Wherever they went, they preached the word. And it tells in chapter 8 some of the things that happened there. Many of the people were healed of their illnesses, and there was cleansing of evil spirits in people. And there was a great revival. A lot of people learning about Jesus. And they needed salvation. And they turned to Jesus. Now, this was not just the Jews. This was a different culture, the Samaritans. Now, I don't know if you know who the Samaritans were, but there were a lot of people that were taken out of the country, out of Samaria, And there were a lot of people that moved into Samaria. And there was intermarriage, so it was not just Jews. There was a mixture. No matter who they were, there was a mixture. It's fine. Philip preached to them. And they received this message with open hearts and minds. And then there were a number of people that were baptized there, and there were some problems that came. But just wanted to mention, as far as the Samaritans, who were the Samaritans here? Well, for Samaritans, for us, for you, here are maybe Native Americans. Maybe, now, what is the nationality that most of the people are here? Is it Norwegians? Norwegian. Well,
Norwegian.
Norwegians. I figured that because, you know, Madison is the Lutefisk capital of, I would say, the world. You know, it says United States on the sign, but probably the world. I don't know if you know why. I don't think anybody else wants it. No, I'm just kidding. That's not the reason. But there's the Baptist church that was in Appleton was North American Baptist. That the background there was Germans, and I'm part German, and so I guess I was okay. But I'm part Norwegian, so they probably questioned that a little bit in the German background, but. It was good. We enjoyed a lot of fellowship there. And Norwegians, Swedes, I had a whole list down here. Hispanics in the church in Litchfield, the Cornerstone Church, there's a Hispanic service as well. But it's all part of the same church. And it's a wonderful fellowship that we have. Some people in the area, I don't know if there's any from Somalia here, but some churches especially in Wilmer area, they're working on this to be a welcome community. And I think that's what our churches are supposed to be. That's another area that I mentioned, the Bible, reading God's Word, prayer, and welcoming. We need to be welcoming. And it's not just the believers. We need to welcome everybody. And some people that come... they may come from other churches. We need to welcome them, you know. And they may believe a little different than we do. As long as we get the oneness in Christ together. In our Bible study on Wednesday, we approached this last week, syncretism. We can't have syncretism. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So it's only through Jesus. There are a lot of problems that some of the early church, primarily the Catholic Church, I'll mention. They'd go into certain countries and they would bring the gospel with them, and the native people, like primarily in South America, that this has, and it's really been part of the history now, and it's not good, because they brought the gospel, and they had the native South Americans have their own religions, and they just kind of incorporated it together. And it became kind of a magical thing that happens. That can't be. Because it's only through Jesus Christ. It's no other way for salvation from sin and the hope of eternal life. It's only through Jesus. There's some other things that cause us that as far as... I'd like to turn to Colossians. In Colossians, Paul is encouraging the Christians to remain loyal to Christ. He says, continue to live in Him. When you heard about Jesus and what He has done for you by dying on the cross, forgiving your sin, no matter what your condition has been, you can thank Him. Jesus saved you. Those of you that have recognized that fact and have received Christ as Lord, you are at one with Paul as he was talking to them in Colossians. And you are the ones the Holy Spirit is talking to often. Today, I'd like to turn to chapter 2 of Colossians. Chapter 2, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 10. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. I was asked whether I would have a PowerPoint presentation. I haven't done that for a while. And something I wanted to do, I don't think I could do it in preparation for today. And that was to have the... I don't know if you're familiar with the Campus Crusade for Christ or crew that has the circles of a life and the throne. There's a chair in the middle of the circle. And on that chair is self. And then there's a few dots all over in that circle. And those are the interests, all of the things that you're involved in your life. All of those things. And they're just messed up. They're all over. That's the way lives are. Struggled without Christ. The one pastor in our church in Cornerstone likes to draw not a circle, but a heart signifying our lives, you know, and he puts a throne on the center there, and then everything is disordered until Christ is put on the throne, and the self is dethroned. It's still there in the life, you know, you don't throw yourself out of your life. Your life is still there. So you're there at the base of the throne, You're not the authority anymore. Jesus is. And so then you take, and then all of the interests. Now what I'd like to do on the PowerPoint is to see, to move those dots all around, you know, and make move them in a circle. And then I'd like to click on one or two and throw them out of the life. They don't belong there anymore. I've been learning that in Celebrate Recovery. Especially every other week, we have a testimony from somebody. Oh my, it's really something. How the people that have struggled with addiction of various kinds, habits, hurts, hang-ups, whatever it is, their life was just so messed up. And coming to Christ, they're still struggling with some of those things, but their life is so much better. The Lord is working in their life, and things are really going well. Some fall again and need to be picked up again, and then that Celebrate Recovery is like a family. You know, you pick each other up, and you dust them off, and you help them out again. And it's interesting when you have those testimonies of people that have struggled with alcohol or drugs or pornography or whatever it is. So many different things. And they talk about the relationship with God in Christ. And then there are various people in the group, larger group. And a couple of weeks ago, we had a record attendance at Celebrate Recovery. It was 84 people at that. And there's a number of people that could identify with that testimony and say, oh, I'm like that. I have that hurt. I have that habit that I'm dealing with in my life. Different things. And they realize they can be changed. Jesus can do it in their life. And that's one of the things that they comment about, that it's different than any other organization or any other thing that deals with treatment of alcoholics and drug addiction. Jesus is a supreme power. It's not just something out there. Whatever you want to make it. No. It is Jesus Christ. He is the one that's powerful. Paul says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. That's placing God, that's placing Jesus on the throne of your life. It is understood by Paul that Jesus was the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. He died on the cross for sinners, for you and I. His death was payment for my sin and your sin. Now that's wonderful. Because we can't do it. There is nothing good enough to take that place. To pay for our sin. Jesus is the only way. But here Paul says, as we received Christ as Lord. Lord is one that has authority in your life. Let him have control. Put him on that throne of your life. Obedience to Jesus is so important. It's so much more important than your planned activities for your life, all those circles around your life. Jesus is more important than those. He should be on the throne. The Word of God nourishes us. And because Jesus is there, His Word nourishes us. Self is at the bottom of the throne. Jesus is on the throne. And then we find Paul saying, just as you continue to live in Him. As we have received Christ as Lord, we need to continue with that same desire in our life that we had at the beginning. And there's going to be struggles. I really appreciate a couple of the things that Paul mentions in his letters. One is that he struggled. In Romans chapter 7, verse 15, he says, I know the right thing to do, but I don't do it. He says, I know the things that I'm supposed to stay away from, and yet I do them. He struggled with sin. And he was a murderer. Yet he was saved by God's grace. Later on, there were some things that something that was bothering Paul, and we don't know what it was. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. And he asked God to remove that thorn in the flesh three times. And God said, no. Basically, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. There was a man that in Celebrate Recovery, or in the church, that asked me to be his accountability partner. I had never done that before. And accountability partner, if somebody is an addict as far as alcohol, and they have this overwhelming desire to drink again, they're supposed to call me. I mean, he's supposed to call me. He hasn't been doing that. And he ended up in jail again. And we got to meet, and there was something that he was reminded of that I told him a long time ago when we started. And he said he needs to take a hold of that. And I told him that God's grace is sufficient for him. God's grace is sufficient. And so he's holding on to that. And I hope he seems more determined than before, because his family is, he can't get in touch with his family right now. He'd like to get back together with them. Well, he's going to have to make some changes. And that's what we work on. All of us. We work on sin, difficulties, problems that are in our life. God's grace is sufficient for us. Paul knew that our desires would not always be for Christ. Selfishness steps in our desires, and that seems to come first for us. It's like on that throne, we basically dethrone Jesus. We get back on the throne again. Jesus is still in the life, because when we accept Christ as our Savior, He comes into our life. He's there, but He's on the bottom. He's down in the bottom of that throne, and self is back on the throne, and all those, and then you kind of reach out beyond your life, and I can handle all of these things in life before I got everything straightened out. I can handle alcohol again, or I can handle drug addiction, or a lot of other things. I can handle these, and you bring those back into your life. And before long, everything gets confused and messed up again. We got to leave Jesus on the throne of our life. He's always in charge, needs to be there. Verse 3 in the chapter that we read here says, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He gives us that wisdom and knowledge to live for Him. And then he says, Paul says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. He then says, rooted and built up in Him. It's interesting, plants, various plants that grow, and what's really interesting is something that you can't see in most cases, is the root system. Wonderful. You know, we have some strong winds that come through here periodically, and the majority of the trees do pretty well. Once in a while, there's one, and then I look at it as God is kind of calling out those trees that are not good anymore. So they blow over. You know, it's kind of interesting that just some are. You know, they're maybe the weak ones. I don't know. But the root system is what holds those trees up and helps them grow. Most of it is below ground. You don't even see it. Most plants can endure a lot of adverse winds. Psalm 1 talks about a tree growing by the stream of water. Rich soil is there and water to keep it growing. Jesus told Satan during the temptation in the wilderness that man does not live on bread alone. We live by the sustaining power of God, working in our lives, and the Word of God nourishing us. The Word of God is like that root system in a tree. It's there to help us grow and build up in Christ. Jesus Christ has a plan for each one of you, for each one of us. He has a plan for us, what He wants to have happen. We need to allow Him to be on the throne so we can be obedient to Him and to see what He has in mind for us. Might be to take us to Samaria. Or sometimes you might say Samaria is beyond Lac La Parle. You might, you know, might be Swift County. Or might be Chippewa County. Or I can't remember the county where Ortonville is. But might even reach out into South Dakota a little bit. You know? Samaria. And we can do that. We have a problem, you know, with the nationalities. You know, I joke with Norwegians because I'm Norwegian. And I say the Norwegians tell a lot of Norwegian stories. I like that because they can laugh at themselves. And we need to, and the other part of me, the German, they don't laugh at themselves. It's, I'm sorry, but yeah. Maybe that's why you don't hear German stories. I don't know, but that's okay. I don't mind telling Norwegian stories, and Ole doesn't mind either, you know? You know, it just so happens that Arliss's grandfather was named Ole, one of her grandfathers. And one of my grandfathers was named Ole also. They were different, but their names were Ole. That was just an aside here. And then we're supposed to be strengthened in the faith. Christ never fails. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never forget about your teaching about Christ. Faith is important in all of life's experiences. Our Christian life is not filled with don'ts, but our faith in Christ is how can we best serve Him. We need to examine our individual lifestyles and question anything in which we are involved. Does God want us to be involved here? Allow Jesus to be on the throne of our life. Can I live for Christ in this activity? Trust Christ to give strength for daily living wherever you go. Turn to Him first in your activities. Word of God nourishes us, and just grow in Him. And then it says in verse 7, Paul says, overflowing with thankfulness. We can't overflow if we're not full. We need to consider how we are blessed and the experiences that we have in the fullness of life because of Christ in our life. Thank Him. Others should know that you are what you are because of Christ. As a Christian, we are not self-made. Give credit to Jesus Christ. Quite often, we only go part way with Christ, sometimes only enough of Christ to impress other people. That's not enough. We should be living for Christ, not for an impression of others. Others are involved with the overflow. Things that overflow from our life should overflow to them, so that we can be welcoming people, not just to a church, welcome to a relationship with Christ. That they can understand and believe that Jesus came to die for their sin. The awful things that I have done and you have done. He's cleansed us of that. And we can welcome other people to have the same experience. That Jesus is a Savior. And all thanks for anything we can do, it all thanks should go to God. Oswald Chambers says that when we are blessed by God, we need to return it to Him with praise and honor. And I listened or I read or heard about Corrie ten Boom would give a lot of, she would get a lot of praise from people because of what they did in protecting the Jews in her country. And some of the things she was able to do in telling people about Jesus in our country also. And they asked her about accepting all the praise from other people. And she said that she accepts it as roses from them. And then at the end of the day, she puts it all together and gives a bouquet of roses to Jesus. We experience a lot of things in life, and great things, just like roses that we get. Maybe it's thanks, maybe it's praise, maybe we need to just bring it all to the Lord and thank Him for it. He has done marvelous things in my life, and He's doing marvelous things in your life. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior or Lord yet, today is a wonderful day. You can do that. Talk to one of the leaders here in the church, and it's a wonderful experience. I'm sure glad that people didn't give up on me And they told me about Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come to a relationship with you through Jesus. Thank you for what has happened in my life and the lives of many others here. But I pray for those that may not have allowed you to be in control of their life. I pray that you would help them, guide them with your Spirit to make that commitment to you, to give you the throne of their life, that you would be in control, and that we can rejoice together for what you are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.